get to this.
Good afternoon. It is now 1:01. My name is Miguel Bustos, and this is a regular meeting of the Commission on Community Investment and Infrastructure, the successor agency for the San Francisco Redevelopment Agency. For Tuesday, October 1st, 2019, welcome to members of the public. Madam Secretary, please call the first item.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The first order of business is item one, roll call. Commission members, please respond when I call your name. Commissioner Brackett is absent. Commissioner Scott?
Here.
Vice Chair Rosales?
Here.
Chair Bustos?
Here.
Commissioner Brackett is absent, and all other members of the commission are present. The next order of business is item two, announcements. Item A, the next regularly scheduled meeting will be held on October 15th, 2019 at 1 p.m. at City Hall, Room 416. Item B, announcement of prohibition of sound-producing electronic devices during the meeting. Please be advised that the ringing of and use of cell phones, pagers, and similar sound-producing electronic devices are prohibited at this meeting. Please be advised that the chair may order the removal from the meeting room of any persons responsible for the ringing of or use of a cell phone, pager, or other similar sound-producing electronic device. Item C, announcement of time allotment for public comments. Please be advised a member of the public has up to 3 minutes to make pertinent public comments on agenda item unless the commission adopts a shorter period on any item. It is strongly recommended that members of the public who wish to address the commission fill out a speaker card and submit the completed card to the commission secretary. The next order of business is item three, report on actions taken at a previous closed session meeting, if any. There are no reportable actions. The next order of business is item four, matters of unfinished business. There are no matters of unfinished business. The next order of business is item five, matters of new business consisting of consent and regular agenda. First, a consent agenda. There are no consent agenda items. Next is the regular agenda, item 5A. Workshop on a major phase amendment for Candlestick Point Major Phase 1, including associated revisions to the Candlestick Point Infrastructure Plan, Design for Development in Candlestick Point, Hunters Point Shipyard Phase 2 Transportation Plan, and a modified phasing plan and schedule of performance for Candlestick Point, Hunters Point Shipyard Redevelopment Project Area, and Bayview Hunters Point Redevelopment Project Area. Discussion. Madam Director?
Thank you, Madam Secretary, through the Chair. This item before you is informational. As you know, and we've talked about in the past, we've been working with Five Point Development Partner to kind of redesign the Candlestick Point area as a result of the retailer Macerich walking away. And we're happy and excited to share with you what we've come up with. I want to extend my appreciation to the team in OCII led by Lila and Sally and Aaron and the extended team that's worked on this, and one of that development partner Five Point. There's so many of them, I won't name them. But the few takeaways is that as a result of Macerich moving away, to date the developer continues to do infrastructure work. In the meantime, what's being proposed here is a reduction of the retail space to office, so that it can be allocated to office. We're converting some of the residential units. We're able to advance some of those forward. Over 400 will be advanced as a result. The initial CPO2 that was reviewed by this commission did not have housing on the outfield. Now we're proposing to increase that by almost 480 units. We're removing tower and then making some adjustments to height. We're making changes to community facility space. In terms of square footages due to reduction in the overall retail program in Candlestick Point. And then there's some neighborhood changes to Alice Griffith, which the team will be presenting on. I do want to note that what this entails is extensive changes to major documents, the major phase one, CP infrastructure plan, the transportation plan, and the design for development. But without giving going over too much, I think we're going to have someone from Five Point, Therese Becky, present, and then Lila Hussein will come at the end to give an overview, and both teams will be present to respond to questions. And I just want to thank the team for the extensive work. It's taken us a long time to come here. I think what we've done differently is do more community outreach engagement so that we get buy-in from the community, and that is reflected in what you're going to see today. So with that, I'll turn it over to Therese from Five Point.
Thank you so much, Director Sese. And commissioners, thank you for your time this afternoon. My name is Therese Brecky. I'm the Senior Director of Planning at Five Point. And I'm here today to present, as was said earlier, proposed amendments to the Candlestick Point major phase application, as well as corresponding changes to the infrastructure, transportation plans, design for development document, and some modifications to the schedule of performance. Before we start here, I'll go over our agenda for this afternoon, which is really to describe our purpose, what our vision is for this community. Why are we here? What is it that we're wanting to achieve? And so let's begin there. We will then cover some background information, particularly for those in the community who may not be as familiar with the project as certainly you are. And then we'll be talking about the changes themselves and, of course, next steps. So first, a bit of orientation. This was an aerial. It itself is a little bit dated. It was taken in 2016, but I thought it was a good example of the progress that's been made to date. What you see on the aerial itself is that the stadium has been taken down. You see along the edges, on the north edge, and on this edge here, along what is going to be Harney Way West, a bunch of surcharging. And that is necessary to compact the soils in order to build on top of them. And so, and right in the tiny corner, I'm sure is better on your printed version, you can see the Alice Griffith beginning to take shape. What we're very pleased about is that we have 337 families now moved in to homes in Alice Griffith. So very pleased about that. So let's talk a moment about what our purpose is. You know, our first and foremost purpose is to create jobs, to create an economic engine for this community. We've talked for a number of years about the fact that the Navy has gone away, and jobs associated with the Navy since it closed in 1974 need to come alive again in this community. We need that. So we have created a plan that, in fact, creates the same number of jobs as the prior plan. We've also then, with this new plan, expanded the range of job opportunities for a greater number of talent and education in the community. People can live and work within the Bayview itself. The next job, building housing. So it's our job to build more housing and to build it sooner. We have been advancing more and more housing in our development plans over time, and in fact have done that more recently in some of the schematic design approvals that you have seen, where incrementally we've been making some additions to what we previously had planned for these various sites. And so we're very happy about that. There's a couple of things I really want to point out for you that I think are incredibly important. One is that in this first major phase of development, 39% of all the housing units are affordable housing units. We also have another important fact, which is within the project as a total, when you consider Candlestick and Shipyard together and look at all of the affordable housing that's proposed, which is about a total of 3,345 units, of that you have over half is at a 60% AMI or below. So we're really, I think that's very important because that is something that is incredibly important to the community itself. Now, you yourselves had begun to jumpstart this new plan when a year ago you made a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors to approve some amendments to the redevelopment plans, and those amendments allow for greater flexibility. They allow for the conversion of uses, as we are proposing here today, the conversion, for example, of retail to office. And it allows us to transfer up to 118,500 square feet of office from the shipyard to Candlestick. So our plans include that transfer of development. So our overall plan for success is jobs, housing, and other important benefits to the community, such as, well, the community benefits program, of course, and then we have transit and other elements that are going to remain in place as always proposed, similarly with parks and open space. Another important matter to the community is childcare. Now, under this current plan, we are required as a developer to contribute to a child care fund or to establish child care on site. We are going to prioritize establishing child care on site. We do believe it's an important element of this project. It is tied to the office and hotel square footages. To provide you with just a little bit of background here, again, some of this is for those who may be viewing on television and out in the audience. We have our plan for Candlestick is developed in three major phases. One is shown in tan, in the green is major phase two, and in the yellow is major phase three. So within major phase one, there's been a lot of work done to date. You have seen a number of blocks with housing and retail at the ground floor along Ingerson and Harney that have received your approval for schematic designs. And so we're very happy about that status. And as I mentioned earlier, what is in identified CPO1, that is where the housing for the 337 families in Ellis Griffith is. As I mentioned, the community benefits program remains. So all the community benefits associated with the plan since we initially signed our disposition and development agreement remain. That includes things like education, scholarships, job training, community wellness. So all of that remains intact. What also remains intact is our hiring goals. Our goal is to use good faith efforts to extend hiring for both construction as well as permanent jobs, first to the Bayview residents and then to the greater San Francisco. So that is our goal. That is the goal we've been working towards to date on the work that we've done to date, and that is our commitment into the future. Proposed changes. The quick summary of the proposed changes that I'll get into in detail in a moment is more housing and more office. We have reduced the amount of retail, but what we have done is right-size the amount of retail. Retail is critical to forming a community. It's necessary to get services, to be able to go to the drugstore, and you want to be able to go shopping and dining in your neighborhood. And so that is why retail remains. Retail in a large mall, as our partner Macerich had proposed, is not a good solution for us in today's time because of a direction in moving towards more e-commerce as well as people spending their money on travel and just personal life wellness activities. This shows that comparison. On the left, you see the last major phase application was approved in March of 2016. On the left, you see the plan that you approved, and as indicated in the pink on this figure is the regional retail mall, and of course, then it was a mixed-use community that also included residential, that along the Ingerson and Harney. And we've always proposed some type of performance or film arts venue. We think it's important. And so that is also continuing into our new project. So in the new land use plan, we have a film arts center anchoring the corner of Ingerson and Harney, as well it should. The hotel remains. And as was mentioned earlier, we've added 428 housing units, and among those are 104 senior housing units at 60% and below AMI. This again is by subphase, so you see the outlines of the boundary of the land uses, subphase CPO 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, all within the first major phase.
Can you point out where the Film Arts Center is?
The center?
The Film Arts Center.
Oh, of course.
I can't see it.
Sure.
Well, no, you just use the little...
The little
arrow.
The arrow.
The arrow on the computer.
Sorry.
Can someone help her?
What do you mean?
That's right.
We're a little older on this side of the table, trying to figure out the technical aspects of it.
It's the hatch.
Yes, the hatch pink. It's kind of the pink and blue because the blue corn at that corner is to represent the Film Arts Center, but there will be ground floor retail there too. That's why it's striped pink.
Okay.
Do you want me to go this way?
No, I see it. Okay.
Yeah. All right. All righty. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, so here's a comparison, a summary slide of what we've talked to date. Again, the major message is we have converted retail to provide for more office. That's what this table is showing you. We are going to continue to provide community facilities. These are spaces available to local businesses, and so we're hoping, you know, to draw local businesses in. You may have a business somewhere on Third and decide, hey, it's a great time to expand. I want to expand into Candlestick. Now I'm drilling down into a lot of detail. So on Candlestick Point, we sometimes refer to it as you have an outfield and you have an infield. We're hearkening back to the Giants days. So I'll go through the development program according to the outfield and the infield. So in the outfield, the office I've spoken of is depicted in blue. Those are the blue buildings, and they're backed up along Aurelius Walker. In the yellows and orange, in the outfield is where we have housing. And in the red, that is meant to depict something such as a market hall, food court, that kind of retail space. There's also some retail at the ground floor of these residential buildings. And then on the infield is where we have the Film Arts Center in that bright, vibrant blue. And then we have a hotel that's depicted in the yellow. And then we have, of course, the senior housing, which is shown in brown, and other housing shown in yellow. Design for development updates. So because we have a new plan, it's important that the design for this new plan be consistent with the design character that we want for Candlestick. And so we have added some new standards to our design for development guidelines. We have maximum building dimensions and coverage prescribed that ensures this balance of urban character and open spaces. And in addition, there are certain standards that have been added for design articulation. So facade treatments, there's a number of ways that you can break down the building massing. You can step back buildings. You can use certain treatments that articulate and break down building mass. And so there's more standard as it relates to doing just that. The other important standard is a standard for activation. So it's important for us at the ground floor to have uses that are engaging as the pedestrians move through the site. The primary change on the height is along Aurelius Walker Drive, but I'll review these individually with you. On the left, you see the approved heights from 2016. So the orange depicts 65 feet. You'll note that the front edges in 2016 along Harney and Ingerson show a height of 80 feet. And then there's in a 120 feet that has always been for the Film Arts Center. So in the future, in order to accommodate these new building designs, we are requesting an increase in the height along Aurelius Walker to 120 feet to allow for more housing. We're also asking for an allowance to increase the interior as well as the edges of this site to 85 feet. So at the edges along Ingerson Harney, they complement the 80-foot development on the other side of the street. And you'll note that we've got this iconic Film Arts Center at 120, then heights go down, and then they rise once again at the Aurelius Walker. And let me show you another slide to show that in context, because I think it may sound like a big move to move to 120 feet, but in this particular context, it's less so. And that is because we have Bayview Hill behind this. So the highest point of Bayview Hill is 425 feet. And then the highest point of the building elevation, and these are elevations, the highest elevation, not building height, but highest elevation for the building height is more like 231. We've added this last little dot, dot, dot at the bottom to just show you sea level. So when you look in that context, I think we've done a pretty good job of making this work in the context of the environment and Bayview Hill. We're not wanting to interfere with anyone's views from Bayview Hill. Community facilities comparison. So our community facilities obligation is 7.5% of all retail. I mentioned community facilities earlier. So we are required to do 7.5%. Retail, the amount of retail has been reduced, so naturally the amount of community facility space has been reduced too. But at the same time, we still have community facility spaces lining our blocks along Ingerson and Harney. So on the next exhibit in your packet, you can see where various community spaces are noted and how much square footage is on each one of these blocks. I mean, an important community facility to highlight is the International African Marketplace. We have worked with Ms. Vincent at the CAC, who spearheaded that movement to have an International African Marketplace, and she liked the idea of being right across from Wedge Park, and so that's what we did. Now I'll show you a couple of renderings for the kind of place that we expect to build in the future. What you see here is a view from Aurelius Walker into the plaza area. So as you enter in from Aurelius Walker Drive, you can see down into the plaza where we have a 1 acre open space that can be used for, you know, festivals, mini concerts, any number of things. This is the primary entrance in from the community. This entrance is at the corner of Earl and Ingerson, or as named more recently, the interior of the site, Montana Clark Drive. So the interior of that site is Montana Clark Drive. So as you cross the street at Ingerson in into Montana Clark Drive, that is a major gateway into the project. On the right is the food hall I mentioned. On the left is the hotel. And far in the distance, once again, you can see the open spaces. And the Film Arts Center. We think it's an elegant, civic building for this community. And we have invested a great deal of time and effort, energies and such, designing this, because we do feel that a major civic building is important to the community, to have something that stands out as a signature kind of development space. Now, the next thing I want to talk with you about is some changes to the subface boundary for CPO5 and then some changes within the Alice Griffith neighborhood. So one of the things that we've done is that we have moved a community lot from the corner of Ingerson and Harney, which was in the midst of all the retail, and we've moved that community lot in cooperation with OCI and others that we've spoken to this location in Alice Griffith, where we think it can more appropriately serve community needs. We are retaining a small piece of community use on the site I just mentioned, right at the corner of Ingerson and Aurelius Walker, for a future fire station. Within CP Center, we think we'll have a safety hub. So we're wanting to make sure community types of uses find a home in this plan. Now, this slide perhaps depicts something that we also think, and I've mentioned earlier, is very important to the community. Frandelja Child Care is a child care site that operates in True Hope Church, and they currently use the outdoor areas that are included within our development plans for a playground. They desperately want that playground to remain. And so what we did, in consultation with Frandelja, OCII staff, and others, we agreed to leave that block open to retain the playground use. And we swapped out, so to speak, the development program for that unit as shown on the left side. It's block 8, if that helps in terms of an orientation for you. So block 8 is now open. The development that had been assigned to that site is now on block 15. The market rate that had originally been on block 15 was distributed to other blocks within Alice Griffith so that it remains. Let me stop here. This might be helpful. This might be an easier graphic to see the Frandelja site where it lists Alice AG8. That's the Frandelja site. And, of course, the community site is the vibrant purple. And then the affordable housing you know, that had been proposed moved to a market block and all the market rate units moved to other blocks. Transportation plan updates. So there are a few transportation plan updates. One has to do with our own schedule. So the implementation of transit, of course, naturally corresponds to the actual development. You want people there and you want transit when people are there and when they open their doors. So we've made a few modifications with the support of SFMTA and our transportation consultants to update the phasing schedule for the transportation plan. We've also made a couple other small adjustments. We made a roadway adjustment to allow for a bus turning movement at one of our streets too, and we've also helped to accommodate a driveway entrance to state parks. Infrastructure plan. So there are three primary updates to the infrastructure plan. One has to do with updating standards for addressing potential sea level rise. More recently, the National Research Council published a report in 2012 that suggested higher standards for sea level rise are necessary. That was adopted by a number of California agencies, including the Planning Department, and it is a standard that we, too, are now applying to the project. So the difference is, at one time, your development in the past had to be, finished floor is to be 3.5 feet above what is called a base flood elevation. It's the 100-year flood, sometimes referred to. Now, the base floor elevation must be 5.5 feet. So we have increased the elevations required for all of our buildings by 2 feet. Now, fortunately for us, that had been part of our game plan all along. So it is not requiring really a big change to our grading plans because we had always anticipated increasing the grades pretty significantly because of sea level rise. So it is a standard we're currently already meeting. The other couple of small edits we are requesting from PUC a easement through CP Center to accommodate some basic utilities, you know, joint trench and water and such like this. And then the last thing we want to do is, as you may know, of course, we've talked about constructing a recycled water treatment plant at Hunters Point Shipyard. If we are, in fact, able to do that, then we will be extending a line across Yosemite Slough Bridge to Candlestick to provide recycled water to Candlestick, too. Jobs. So now let me report on the jobs. We have, and as I said, we've increased the category of jobs. The office jobs has increased substantially. And then some of the other jobs are about as they had been originally predicted. So, for example, we don't anticipate any real changes in multifamily operations or in hotel and such. But there are some differences in retail, dining, entertainment. So that number has changed. It's less than it was in the previous plan. But what we do have now that we didn't have is a range of office from 1875 to 2725 jobs. What I think is important to know, too, as a part of this, is that we have the 50% goal, as I mentioned earlier in our presentation, for hiring temporary and permanent workers. And so we will be working with OEWD to develop, a plan to enable us to do that. Now, vertical construction, I know the first question most people ask is, so when am I going to see something out there, you know? When are you going to build? Well, as I say, I recognize that the past couple of years has been a couple of years of change. I mean, we learned that retail is no longer a good, viable, successful option, and so we revamped. And in the course of revamping, things are maybe 1 to 3 years delayed as we had originally anticipated. But what we want to do is we do want to get in the ground by fall of 2020. So we are actively, aggressively working on a final map that would give us the ability to secure the permits to finish the backbone infrastructure along Harney, Ingerson, Aurelius Walker, and hope to have that permit in hand in order to begin infrastructure or continue infrastructure by this fall. But the vertical dates, you know, typically on a horizontal construction, we allow for 2 years. So if we do our infrastructure from 20 to 2022, then at that point we begin our vertical construction. So the timing and the phasing is outlined here on this slide. Okay. As Director Sessa indicated in her introduction, we have had a lot of community input. I won't read each one of these bullets, but we've had a couple of community workshops. We've been before a full CAC, and we've been before subcommittees of the CAC. So we've been walking this plan around the past year after spending much of 2017, early 2018 to kind of revamp and redesign. And then we came up with a plan that we believe we can all endorse and stand behind. And now we're going to start construction. Next step. Okay, we will be presenting before the full CAC on October 7th, and at that time, we will be asking them to recommend approval of the major phase application as well as the corresponding changes needed to other documents to support that major phase application. We will be back in front of you on October 15th, and at that time, we will be seeking your approvals for the major phase applications and modifications to the corresponding documents. And with that approval, we will create the kind of community I think that we've all been wanting, which is a community that includes jobs, housing at all levels, childcare, transit, parks, all of the things that are absolutely essential to making this community a viable, successful community. And with that, I think I'm going to turn it over to Lila to do a wrap.
Good afternoon, commissioners. My name is Lila Hussein, Senior Project Manager for Hunters Point Shipyard, Candlestick Point. And I just want to close the presentation with a summary about the upcoming commission actions that would be associated for the changes that you heard today. So after the feedback that we get from today, staff intends to come back to the commission with a request for to approve the amendments to a variety of regulatory documents and make associated findings to support the amendments discussed today. There will be three resolutions before the commission. The first resolution will cover the adoption of CEQA findings from the sixth addendum to the EIR to support the 2019 program changes that was just discussed today. The second resolution covers the design for development amendments, which encompasses the height changes, bulk, massing, setbacks, and guidelines for the office building. And then the third resolution will cover the major phase amendments as well as associated documents such as the infrastructure plan and the transportation plan. And that resolution will also effectuate the transfer of the 118,500 square footage coming from Hunters Point Shipyard redevelopment plan into Candlestick Point. And it will also cover the schedule performance changes and the phasing plan changes. Staff from OCII, OEWD, as well as Five Point are all here to answer your questions. So with that, I will close this presentation. Thank you.
Madam Secretary, do we have any speaker items on this card?
We have Oscar James.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. Oscar James, native resident of Bayview Hunters Point. First of all, I want to thank the CAC and Ms. Walker for their hard work in putting this package together along with OCI, along with Five Points and Lennar. But I do have some concerns pertaining to the child care. I would like for the child care to hire and train people in our community. I've also brought this up at the Southeast Commission meeting at for the college to have courses there to train them like we trained them from joint housing programs we had with five child care we had in Hunters Point, where we trained people in the community who were living in the community for jobs. And most of them were successful, and a lot of them have retired from that particular project. I also would like to try and have some homeless housing, an opportunity for some of the people in our community who are homeless to have some of those houses also there. I would like for them to also start a training programs with College Track and some of the other young community developers. A. Philip Randolph to train people for the different type of businesses that will come into both of these projects, both Hunters Point Shipyard and also the Double Rock project. But I'm truly happy and glad that this project is going on, and I like the work that, like I said, the CAC and Ms. Walker has done to make sure community benefit, and Lennar for keeping residents in the community in the forefront of this project. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. James.
Linda Richards.
Good afternoon, Commissioners, Commissioner Bustos, Chair, Nadia Sese, Director, James Morales, and fellow commissioners. Glad to see you be back. I have attended, and we need, a lot of times, we don't give credit to where credit belongs. Five Point, formerly Lennar, the only project in the history of San Francisco, this developer has exceeded all the goals that you all have set for this development here. I'm a developer myself, and I'm guiding the city. In fact, a lot of times, and living in the Bayview, the economic engine, our community benefits, it's all tied to this project right here. All of us have been whining and dining at the Chase Center and everybody there. But I get asked a lot about the people in the Bayview, because several years ago, and as you all know, is that all the jobs, all the businesses that were created in the Bayview, in the area, and even citywide, were because of this project, the Hunters Point Shipyard. And so we are talking with a developer here that already know what to do. What we wanted to do right now, we have all this regulatory, and Mayor Breed today, I thought it very significant, you should know, she signed this legislation called Equity, the first of its kind in the history of San Francisco. And it's a cumulative, it's coming from the late Mayor Lee. She signed it today. It's tied to housing, it's tied to all this project that we have, all the housing that are gonna be built will be based on their first preference, which give the people in the Bayview. We are being gentrified out of the city, we know that. So what can I say? I don't want an even, because the technical aspect of this project, we all know, because that's what we do for a living, and I can go on and on. But reacting to the market conditions, coming back, getting community input, did you see all the workshops that they had already committed? And I attended all of them. It is stunning. There is no other project here. So Nadia SSA had made sure to do that. You all have made sure they are following. What we do not, we wouldn't want right now is all the regulatory by October. I think the community wants to do a huge celebration, because then that gets out to the next space where they can really develop. So thank you all for all your work here, and we are all very excited. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Richards.
Dr. Veronica Honeycutt.
Yes, Executive Director Nadia SSA and Commissioners, it's always good to see you. And Five Point, as you know, recently made a presentation to the CAC Executive Subcommittee. And we were very excited about this particular program and what they are doing out of Candlestick. And what the CAC members really liked was the plan for jobs, was the housing, particularly affordable housing at 60% or below AMI. Senior housing, 104 units at 60% or below AMI. BMRs, more childcare, including the retention of the Frandelja piece. Some retail office, something more modest, realizing that brick and mortar businesses are having some challenges right now, okay? Training program for residents in the Bayview and ultimately for residents in the city and county of San Francisco for the jobs that will be generated through the project. Community spaces so that people in the community can develop businesses and do wonderful things. The Film Arts Center, the hotel, and to their credit, Five Point addressed some of our concerns that we brought up in the executive subcommittee, and that is we wanted to see more housing for lower income folks in the 30 to 35,000 AMI range. You know, look at the homeless problem. And by the way, what we also liked is that there will be homeless families that will be housed in some of these buildings as well. That's critically important. Okay, and so they will return to us on October 7th. They'll give us more information, but we are very pleased with what we see. And so I want to thank you for allowing me to speak with you about this. Take care.
Thank you, Dr. Honeycutt.
No more speaker cards, Mr. Chair.
Is there anyone from the audience that would like to speak on this item? Seeing none, I will close public comment and I will turn to my fellow commissioners.
Well, I just would like to say thank you for all of your hard work and all of the efforts that have been done in working with our CAC and the community. And as I said, the adding and keeping the goals and the request and the desires of the community aboard. I'm just impressed, and I'm thankful, Therese. Okay, yeah. Thank you so much, and all of Five Point for this. Yeah.
Thank you, Dr. Scott. Commissioners? Commissioner Rosales?
Yes, thank you. Again, thank you for the presentation. I have a couple of questions just for clarity. On the vertical construction schedule slide, it has in the years 2022 to 2025, 575 housing units. Are those market housing, market rate housing, or is it a combination of market with affordable housing?
It is a combination. So within market rate housing, we are also required to provide inclusionary housing. Inclusionary housing is typically anywhere from 5 to 20% of total housing.
Okay. And with respect to the connection between jobs and the community, I'd like to have a couple of questions on that. One of the things that I've brought up in the past with the Mayor's Office of Economic and Workforce Development is the idea of a custom census where you're looking at a neighborhood, and I suggested to them looking at 94124 to start, kind of looking at it from an analytical data-driven perspective of what does the labor force look like, what are the capacity or capabilities of individuals that are either working, looking for work, or maybe on the sidelines, right? You know, just to get a sense of who's in the community and the connectivity between their interest, their skill set, or the need for training of current residents with the upcoming job opportunities. Mr. Lee.
Raymond Lee, Contract Compliance Supervisor. With respect to the custom census, that is still alive today. We have a scope of work that is presented to OEWD for the proposal. And certainly, we would tie that in with you know, future needs within the community in San Francisco, and particularly with Bayview, Hunters Point.
And so that there would be a conversation. Well, we're going to obviously wait to see what the census says, right? You know, but the I would, you know, there's got to be a connection between the folks that are in the neighborhood, their willingness and ability to work or to be available for jobs, even if they don't have the training today, kind of that pipeline training like we have with City Build, to connect them with jobs that are coming up in their own neighborhood, because obviously that's most people don't want to travel, you know, across the city for sure, but coming in from another place, you know, or any far away from their workplace, especially if they have children, if they need to be close to home. I mean, we have an opportunity here to essentially anchor, if you will, the job opportunities in the community.
Right. That is correct. Yes.
I may have others, but
okay.
Questions?
Mm-hmm. I just want to say that I remember. Oh, you want to say something?
Well, after you, it's fine.
No, go for it.
I had some questions and concerns regarding the retail space that is going to be anchoring this new development in terms of the International African Marketplace that's scheduled to be at CPS 8A. And so because Bayview has traditionally and historically not been given as much business support services as other corridors and other neighborhoods, I'd like to get a little bit more information about how you guys plan to, I know that since you guys reduced the number of retail availability, but there's still going to be a large amount of retail space there, how the community is going to be prepared to go into that space and access opportunities within that retail corridor that currently isn't available along 3rd Street right now.
Commissioners, I'm Suhail Tehta, Vice President with Five Point. As Therese mentioned, there will be 23,000 square feet, which is a fair amount of community space that will be provided for local businesses. The selection process will involve you, the CAC, and the community so we can identify the proper businesses. We will help by constructing the spaces, to including some of the tenant improvements to what's called a warm shell condition to assist those tenants. The African Marketplace was selected at that location with work with the community, and that space has not changed, and the amount of space has not changed at all as well.
I guess my question was more towards, I understand that you guys are going to have a selection process, an application process, but because this community sometimes needs a little bit more assistance in accessing those opportunities before the application phase, what is our plans to reach out to the community to kind of identify people who may not be ready for application period, but they can be gotten ready within the next 5 years for when those opportunities come about? That's
yes.
My question.
Yes, the answer is yes. And in fact, the outreach is all spelled out as part of the community benefits agreement in terms of what we have to do to go out to the community well in advance of when we'll be identifying the potential candidates. So there will be quite a bit of outreach done with the local community.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So I was on the commission back in the redevelopment days when we had a marathon commission meeting with planning to approve this project. It went to, I forget, it may have been 1 or 2 in the morning. And there was a lot of heated discussion about this project. But one thing that was very clear was the vision and the need to have this project go through for the people that have historically been neglected in the Bayview Hunters Point area. And so I was proud to support that project. And so to see some of these drawings and these renderings really got me excited again, because I remember how excited I thought about it, and was hopeful that this is going to be the jewel for a community that so well deserves it. And I still hope that, and I still believe that this is going to be that. But I also think, along with Commissioner Vivette and Mara and Dr. Scott, that this is an opportunity for us not to miss. We don't want 10 years from now to say, oh, we got some nice, beautiful buildings, but yet, where are the people? And so I think we need to be intentional, and I believe that our commissioners feel the same way, that we have to be thoughtful. And I really appreciate Five Point for being nimble, looking at market conditions to see what would be the best, so that we just don't have a mall that's empty, but that every space is utilized for the benefit of the people who work there, but also, most importantly, the people who live there, the community that has been waiting for this for decades. So I would like to ask our director, if sometimes, as we know in city government, it takes a little prodding. And I know that our mayor is committed to this. I know that Mayor Breed, who actually also sat on this commission when we voted for it, believes in this. So I would ask that if staff can work with a commissioner. Obviously, we all cannot work on something at the same time. But if they're a specific commissioner that could help champion, whether it be the small businesses, working with the mayor's office of business development to move that forward. When it comes to local hire, where the training is, maybe we work with the mayor's office on economic and workforce development, so another commissioner could work on that, so that we are helping move this along, and we look to see where we're making all the dots connect, and so that we really take full advantage of this. And that director, as I say, if you could, you know, survey us who wants to do what,
we'll do.
And then what we could do is then have a presentation with staff on how we're doing with connecting with that, and we will let the mayor know that we are very interested in really maximizing the opportunities here for people. I think this is going to be great. I think if we can prove that we will work hand in hand with our city partners and with our corporate partners that are helping us do this, and community members, this could be a model. It already is in many ways a model, but this really could be so much, there's more value added to this. And also, I think it lends to the fact that we all need to buy local. That, you know, the fact that malls are now disappearing and people are just going on to Amazon, we need more connection to our communities, and there's so many entrepreneurs in our communities that we need to begin, I think, go out and spend our money at home. So especially as we look to the holidays. But I think there's so much opportunity. And the last thing I just want to say is, and I know that when we get the D4D designs that are coming up, I was a little bit of a critic last time because some of the designs, and I don't know if it was for this particular project or was another, we talked about the wow factor. It may have been another one, but for this, you know, I want this to be a super wow factor. That, you know, we talked about iconic buildings, and this community needs to have beautiful things and deserves it. And so I appreciate you know, how you talked about the art center, but you know, this is our opportunity to make it shine. So I know that this is just a workshop, but I hope from this we could work with staff, work with our city departments to really take full advantage. This is the only shot we have for this, and man, if we can get people who live in the community, to work in the community, and to take full advantage of what's going to be an incredible new part of our city, and that they can stay there and say, this is ours. I think we will all be very, very proud at the end that this happened and that we played a very small part of it. So I just want to say that. So thank you in advance, Director Sarce. So this was just a workshop, so thank you all. And
I guess I had a recommendation about how they can probably be broken up to what Miguel was saying, there being maybe one of us on the commission oversee the business aspect, someone else, which would be like a business pipeline program that would come about before the whole application period, so we can help them set up the parameters for that and the outreach. And then there'd be another commissioner that would oversee OEWD and jobs and so forth portion, and then another commissioner would do housing, and then a final commissioner would look at the whole thing and look at how equity is going on and assessment of what programs are working and what's not.
Great. I think we're all on the same page. And if Director Sasse, you can just let the mayor know that we're going to hopefully work with her office on that. Okay. So thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for the presentation. Appreciate it very much. Madam Secretary, can you please call the next item?
The next order of business is item 6, public comment on non-agenda items. We have one speaker card. It's Oscar James.
Mr. James?
He's coming through the crowd.
Oscar James again. What she's passing out is a brochure that we had, a calendar that we had with Joint Housing, who was the first project out in Hunters Point. I had an opportunity of serving on there for at least 15 years. I was first on there in 1968, and then they came up with jobs with the Redevelopment Agency. I got off the Joint Housing, and I started working for the Redevelopment Agency, and I stayed there 40 years. But I was being, at the same time, a watchdog. Once I got off there, I got back on the Joint Housing, and I served as Economic Development Chairman for over 15 years while I was there. So every development that came into Indian Basin came before our committee. The buildings that were built with Homestead Ravioli, different business there, we helped them get their SBA loans through our local, local development corporation, which was exonerated in the late 70s. But anyway, all of our records from Joint Housing, and this gives you records of what we did in Joint Housing, and the same thing I'm asking for what Mr. Broussard brought up about subcommittees. We had subcommittees on each development that came in, that we had one for child care, one for Parks and Rec, we had one for development, we had one for everything. So the training programs we had with the Bayview Hunters Point College and also with Model Cities, we trained people in our community for each phase of the projects that were coming into Bayview Hunters Point. Whether it was businesses, we had a business program that trained people with businesses that went through our Bayview Hunters Point College, which was the first off-campus college in the city and county of San Francisco. We also started every program we started in Bayview Hunters Point through Model Cities and Joint Housing. We also started a mission with the 21 programs. We started Mission Hiring Hall and all of the others. But for those who are familiar with the mission, talk with, I forgot the director's name now.
Sam Ruiz?
No, Don Marcos.
No.
Oh,
Don Mark.
He was director of Model Cities.
Uh-oh.
It'll come to me in my senior moments. But anyway, what I would like for you guys to do, because this is the only thing that I have, all of our records from Joint Housing were destroyed. But everything we did in Joint Housing, Redevelopment has the same records that we have. This is the only thing I have. Take your time and go through these and see the different programs that I'm trying to get them to start with Lennar in 5 points because it enhances our community. The African Marketplace, like I said, the child care centers, they can link up with the colleges out there to train people for child care. Because each one of those persons went through the child care, we had over 40 people that went through the child care program, and most of them were able to buy homes in Baby Hunters Point, and a couple bought two homes because of this particular program. So if we want people to stay in our community, we need to train them in our community. We have College Track, we have A. Philip Randolph, we have Young Community Developers programs we started in Model Cities. They train people for different aspects of things, but we need to have make sure people's even redevelopment trained peoples to be property managers. They paid.
I think Morales we already got you, Mr. James. That was the last comment we were going
to
be doing.
Okay, I know, but I want you guys to look into that and make sure that happens with the NAR and College Track. And thank you very much. Keep doing the work you're doing. I kind of talk kind of fast.
We do it together.
I talk fast and when my mind is moving.
All right.
But
Mr. James.
I just want to make sure things in our community happen for the people in our community. Thank you very much.
Appreciate all your work and being a watchdog. Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Secretary, please call the next item.
The next order of business is item 7, report of the chair.
Madam Chair?
Oh.
I mean, oh, none.
Mr. Chair, sorry.
I have nothing at this moment.
The next order of business is item 8, report of the executive director. Item 8A, 2800 Aurelius Walker Drive, Alice Griffith Phase 4 Marketing Outcomes Project Report. For a recently completed 31-unit Hope SF affordable housing rental multifamily development, including 19 public housing replacement units, affordable at 50% area median income, and 11 affordable housing rental units, which are affordable at 60% area median income, plus one manager's unit, Hunters Point Shipyard Redevelopment Project Area. Discussion. Madam Director?
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Through the chair, there's a memo in your package. As you know, this project was phase 4 of the Ellis Griffith site. It was already completed end of last year, and this year, as of June, it was leased up. I'm going to bring up Jeff to kind of give highlights of this one. And I think what was remarkable about this is that we had 11 COP holders kind of apply for this, which means all the outreach that we've been doing is working, but not all were, of course, leased into the site. But it's just it's still good news that they're active and engaged and applying. With that, I'll turn it over to Jeff White.
Good afternoon, Commissioners, Director Sasse. Jeff White, Housing Program Manager. As Director Sasse said, the report is in your packet, and this phase 4, it has 31 units. 19 of the units were for public housing relocatees coming from Alice. With the marketing of this project, everyone has been moved over into a new unit from the old Alice, so that's quite a milestone. And then the other 11 units in the 31 were lottery units. Those were 1 and 2 bedroom units. The larger units were kind of right-sized for the folks moving over from Alice. The preferences for those lottery units were first the folks that had moved away from Alice but they had previously moved away, and so they had the opportunity to come back into a tax credit unit. So four households were occupied, and then the remaining was the next preference, which is the rent burden preference. And so there were 7 households. There's a lot of children that came over, so it's an indication it's a lot of families with kids, which is great news. That's really kind of the highlights, and happy to have any more discussion or take questions. Oh, I will mention the 11 COP holders who applied. They fell out for a variety of reasons. 2 ended up getting housed in MOCD inclusionary units, so they found another option. There was one household who wanted a 3-bedroom. We didn't have any available at this phase of Alice. And we had somebody who was over income, and then some of like three folks said that they were interested in just looking at, continuing to look at other opportunities.
Great, thank you.
Sure.
That's excellent. Okay.
Do we, yeah, wait, no, we have to do speaker cards first, right?
I don't have any speaker cards. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
No one in the public? Okay, there's no one here to speak. Closing public comment, and we'll turn to my fellow commissioners. Vice Chair Mara Rosales.
Yes, thank you, Chair Bustos. I think you answered one of my questions, but I'll ask it again, or I'll mask it, I should say. So the displaced tenant preference is third in line for preferences on this?
That is, yes, that's correct.
Okay, so that would explain why you could have out of San Francisco, well, since the rent, the resident and worker preference, let's just call it the San Francisco worker preference,
mm-hmm.
could result in someone from outside of San Francisco getting a preference to come into this development.
In that preference, that's correct.
Okay.
I will mention the rent burdened preference is not geographic. So
yes.
Somebody could come in from outside of the city.
Okay, so is that usually the way it works? The rent burden is ahead of the displaced tenant? I'm just trying to think that the displaced tenants are San Franciscans who have been displaced by fire, I think, or
yeah, Ellis. That was in part because that was essentially, we had the Ellis Act
yes.
preference, and that came later after we had established the preferences in the project area.
I see. Okay.
So we kind of added that on after the rent burden preference, the Alice resident preference, and other COP folks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So then that's great. Now I understand it. And then the other thing I wanted to highlight is it says that only 2% of the applications, even though there were a lot of applications at 4,008, but only two came in paper applications.
Mm.
Dahlia, we worked very hard, if you remember, push on Dahlia. It seems like folks are embracing Dahlia as the way to go.
Yeah, and I think there's been a lot of assistance helping people who, you know, might be intimidated by an electronic system to learn how to use it and get on Dahlia.
That's great. That's good. So one last thing that you mentioned, I remember very early on in our commission when the commission was established, I'm pretty sure it was Alice Griffith, but I may be wrong, but there was one of our projects or meetings, we had folks afraid of moving out of basically their housing, even though they had a right of return, because they were worried that they would not be able to return. I want to say it's Alice Griffith.
It was.
Okay, there you go. And so if it is, I'm just trying to put the complete the story mm-hmm. in my mind, because the commission was worried that folks would not be able to return because there was a fear expressed about their ability to return for a variety of reasons. So they were kind of clinging on to their old, decrepit, in many cases, you know, housing situation because they didn't want to let it go, relocate somewhere else, and then never be able to come back to either to the neighborhood or to San Francisco. So I guess my question is, did we have that experience here with Alice Griffith and everyone was able to return?
Everyone was able to return. No, it's a great story.
Yeah,
it's remarkable. And there was a lot of you know, moving of chess pieces to make sure it folks could fit into
yes.
different units. And then at the end, there were a few folks that were very attached to their units, and I think it took a lot of services to kind of get in and help them understand about moving and help them if they had a lot of stuff in their apartment.
Yes.
To because that actually happened a few times.
That's so. Great news. That is truly a huge success.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay. I have one more question.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm probably browbeating the situation,
sure.
but in future projects, as we're moving forward, this being such a success with making showing that no one got displaced, just seeing that we still only got 11 applications out of 4,000 being COP, are there any plans to cast a wider net to reach out to the COP members, again, that came back in our reports who hadn't been
reached out to and to get them into the fold and get them into the same pipeline of getting on Dahlia and all of that? Is there a plan for doing that?
Yeah, I appreciate the question. And the response is we're continuing to do really extensive early outreach in making sure that COP holders are aware of opportunities that are coming. They are now in the Dahlia system, so when an opportunity comes up that it looks appealing to them, they are made aware of it multiple times, and they have the opportunity to apply. So that's our net. And that might not be satisfying. And if you have, we're always open to more ideas because we've, during the annual report presentation, if you look at the results over the past 5 years, we've really increased the number of COP applicants. So we feel like we're doing a lot. This is the displacement happened many, many years ago, and we think a great job getting as many COP holders housed as possible. Mm-hmm. And there is a finite number of COP holders who are out there. So that's not to say we're continuing to redouble our efforts as for each project when COP holders come up. And whenever we have a developer selection process for a project, we have COP outreach and results and performance really top of mind, and that's something we really look at and score on.
Yeah, I heard you guys are doing a lot of amazing one-on-one work with the current people that are in your pipeline. I was more asking for outside of that, the COP holders that weren't yet identified directly by your...
I think when we come back with the annual housing report, as you know, just a few meetings ago, we had the 17-18, and in a couple of meetings, we're going to have the 18-19. I know you had given feedback on what additional outreach we needed to do, and I know Pam on the housing team has been looking into something. So we'll come back and with some other ideas, because I think you had talked about more social, media kind of outreach and so on. Because in terms of the paper and outreach, we're doing that. What more can we do to improve upon that so we can make sure folks who are not in we'll come back to you on that.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Madam Secretary, please call the next item.
The next order of business is item 9, Commissioner's Questions and Matters. Mr. Chair.
Does anybody have any questions? Or
no.
Nope. Okay. Please call the next item.
The next order of business is item 10, closed session. There are no closed session items. And the next order of business is item 11, adjournment. Mr. Chair.
Can we have a motion to adjourn?
I move that the meeting be adjourned.
Commissioner Scott, anybody second?
Second the motion.
Okay. Great. We have a first and second. Thank you so much. Meeting is concluded at 2:18. Thank you.
Thank you.